Hi, this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator, and this is episode 97 of Art for Your Ear. This episode is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. And I just want to say, here at episode 97, I am so grateful that Saatchi Art has supported almost 100 episodes to date and are seeing me right through to 100. So I just want to say thank you to them so much. I know I always say the same thing every week, but I'm thrilled that I get to say it every week. And I will also say, visit their online gallery at saatchiart.com. So today is going to be very, very Canadian. Forests, mountains, Sasquatch, small towns, there's a question about beaver tails, and fellow Canadian, painter Megan Hildebrand. Now, this is a description of her work that sums it up perfectly. With a unique vocabulary of symbols, she translates her northern coastal landscape into electrifying dreamscape scenarios, each image often alluding to a larger narrative. Yep, exactly. Megan is in a show that I'm curating this summer in Toronto, which is also insanely Canadian, but all of our communication has been through email. Who's surprised? Anyway, that is until today. Time to finally talk to her in person. Ready? Calling Powell River, British Columbia. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
I'm so happy to talk to you finally after emailing you many times.
Yes. Nice to talk to you too.
I know, it's so Canadian Girls Unite. I'm very excited. I love your work. I don't even know how somebody sent it to me, I think.
Oh, I would like to know.
Yeah, I should go back through emails because somebody said, oh, you've got to check her out. And I was just instantly like, oh my God, I love it. And I wrote about you like that second. And now you are so awesomely in a show that I'm putting together.
Yeah.
Coming up this summer. And I cannot wait to see what you're making. No pressure. Have you started working on it yet?
I have started to, well, the canvas is ready.
That's
empty.
That's excellent. That's because did you hear that I decided to put myself in it too?
Yeah.
I'm at the same point. I have a lot of blank paper and a lot of ideas. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Something. For anybody that's wondering, I had this idea and I really wanted to do it. And I reached out to Mayberry Gallery, Mayberry Fine Art in Toronto, and said, I have this idea. What do you guys think? And they luckily said yes. And so it's an ode to Gord Downie of the Tragically Hip, who as Canadians we love oh so much. And so there's 10 artists, including me. Everybody's picked lyrics and everybody's making a piece based on his beautiful poetic lyrics.
Yeah, it was really cool that you invited me to be in that.
I had to. When I think of Canadian artists, you pop right into my head.
Thanks.
Do you think that's funny?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I don't know either.
I went searching for you, actually. I got dates mixed up, and I thought that you had a... What's that gallery in Victoria that's down that neat little alley?
Madrona Gallery.
Yeah, and I thought that you had a show, but I think I got the dates mixed up. I was there last October. For the half marathon. And so I thought, oh, this is perfect. I'll pop by. And it looked like they were installing a show. And I was like, oh, is this Megan's show? And they were like, no. And they said that you didn't have a show. I think it was later or I'd missed it or something.
Yeah, we've been doing a solo there almost annually. But last year we just took a break to freshen things up. But I'll be back there this fall.
Oh, okay. In October?
September this time.
Oh, not running through October by any chance?
Well, I don't know. Are you going to be back there?
Yeah, I'm going to do the half marathon again. And it's always the Thanksgiving weekend.
Well, we'll see how it unfolds. Nothing is written in stone yet.
Well, I saw one of your pieces because they had them sort of going up that staircase on the left. And I got to see it in person and I loved it. Because, you know, it's so funny online. Like, they look, you know, work looks so great online, but it's so, you know, it's so hard to tell scale and... You know, to see it up close is something different. So I got to see one of them. So that was exciting.
Yeah, scale makes a big difference.
Huge difference. And just like the same, like with yours, there's so much detail and things you can get lost in. And so it was really cool to see one in person. So hopefully I'll line up and actually be able to see the show in the fall. Anyway, I digress. So this is what I like to do. I always like to hear what people were like when they were kids. If they were an art kid, were you an art kid?
Oh yeah.
Were you? What did you just make everything?
Yeah, I think so. My mom was an artist as well, and she would just do whatever it took to kind of to make to make ends meet. So she was working at the government sign shop, as well as doing stuff on the side like sign painting and window painting, and she had some calligraphy jobs.
Wow.
And so I had access to all kinds of art materials. And she was really, really encouraging. So I don't remember ever not having my own little studio set up or thinking that that was a viable and likely career path.
Well, yeah, especially to see her hustle, right? Like to see what it took to make it happen right in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Are you an only child?
It was just my mom and I until I was six. Then she married and had more kids.
Okay. Are they artsy? Or are you the artsy one?
My sister, she's artsy too. She can sew like crazy. She had kids though, so she has no time.
Yes, that does suck up a bit of time. And so was it painting that you were doing when you were little, or a little bit of everything?
I guess drawing was probably the thing that I was good at.
Yeah.
I didn't really get into painting till I was a teenager.
When you were little, were you drawing creatures? Monsters?
You know, I don't really remember. For some reason, that stuff didn't get held on to. I don't really remember what I was doing.
I know. Probably just whatever was in your little brain at the moment. I was the same. My mom's an artist, too, and it was the same thing. My mom said I was stealing her stuff from the time I could reach the tabletop. I would just pull stuff down and steal it. And, I don't really remember either. I just remember if there was paper in front of me and pastels or whatever there was, that's what was happening.
Yeah. And she just thought everything I did was amazing. So I believed that too.
Well, she was probably right. Do you have any of it left, like that you have in your own, like in a box somewhere, or no?
You know, not a scrap.
Oh no.
It's a mystery. I wonder about it often. But I hang on to anything I get from my nephews.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Like I squirrel that stuff away, and I get lots of great ideas from kids.
Right? They have the best. Well, that's why I always ask people if they were art kids, you know, because there's something so, it was so free.
Yeah.
You know, you just made, and I kind of love that you can't even really remember what it is. So many people tell me that. And then if people go digging around and find it, you know, because I'm putting a post together and they're like, well, let me go see what I can find. So funny how similar it is in most cases to what people are doing now.
Oh, really?
Like either there's a little bit of text and they were making jokey text things when they were younger, or like Martha Rich, she does speech bubbles now, and she found these drawings from when she was 10 with all these speech bubbles coming out of this weird lady's mouth. And it's just like, what? You know, just it's so funny. So yeah, I always love knowing what people were up to when they were little. And I love that it was instilled in you, you know, from birth probably.
Yeah.
And so you started painting in high school. And what were you doing? Like, were you doing, was it just in art class or were you doing it on your own too?
Yeah, in art class and on my own. I was doing lots of watercolors and I was into birds. So I had like this National Geographic flip file and I would basically just copy the exact animal from the flip card and then kind of make up a little background for it.
Did it look realistic or did it have your flair?
It looked realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the thing that would wow your peers, right?
Right. Of course. And that's really what it's all about.
Yeah. Wowing your peers.
And then, so I take it you went to art school.
Yeah.
Where did you go?
I went to Kootenai School of the Arts in Nelson.
Oh, I've never been to Nelson. I so want to go. Is it like all the artsy, hippie things you hear?
Oh, yeah. It's not so hippie anymore. Like, it's gotten pretty chic.
Oh, really?
Like, there's great shopping, great restaurants, a really happening downtown.
Wow.
Like, it's really a beautiful town, and it's very, very alive and exciting.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've always wanted to go there. I've heard so many good things. And so, did you go there as a painting major?
It was a art and craft school, and the closest thing they had to painting was mixed media. So that
wow.
was my focus.
I actually got chills when you said art and craft school. I don't think I've ever heard that.
Oh, really?
No.
It was pretty unique, I guess, actually. Also, all the instructors I had were also working artists.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had a lot to offer in terms of the practicalities of being a working artist. So
yeah, that's helpful.
We're learning how to photograph our work and how to make a crate and how to approach a gallery, as well as, you know, learning how to paint.
Oh my word. That's exactly what I wanted. That is not what I had, but that is exactly what I wanted. When did you graduate?
I graduated in 2001. There was a year in there when I also went out to Halifax to NASCAD for a year.
Oh.
And that was much more like, I think, your real art school kind of experience. You
so
know?
Was that afterwards or in the middle of it? Or how, what?
In the middle.
Oh. Did they have an exchange or something? Or was that just you?
That was just me branching out.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, I liked Halifax.
Yeah. I lived in Nova Scotia when I was little. I applied to NASCAD for my master's. Did not get in.
Oh.
But I wasn't ready anyway. It was kind of a blessing, I think. But I've always wanted to go there too. And so what was that experience like? That must have been so different.
It was really different and pretty, pretty challenging. I was not so into the academics. Like the, you know, talking about your work. I mean, I still have a hard time with that. Writing about your work and, you know, art history.
Yeah. Was it quite conceptual or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot headier. Like it was, I found it a lot tougher.
Yeah.
And plus Halifax was way too much fun. Like there's actually a bar at school. So the focus was a little harder. But it was a great experience.
That's so funny. And so were you meant to stay longer than a year, or was a year enough, or was that your plan going in?
A year was my plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And, you know, the Maritimes is such a special part of the world, too.
Yeah. My best friend and I drove from Whitehorse to Halifax together that year.
Oh, my God. How long did that take?
It took 11 days.
Whoa, you must have powered through.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool. What a neat experience.
Yeah, unforgettable.
Yeah. Okay, so now I've already fawned over your work, but when did you start doing the kind of stuff that you're doing now? Did that happen in Nelson or no?
Yeah, you know, I actually remember the particular class that I feel was kind of a breakthrough. It was a design class, and we were trying to figure out what our visual language is. Like, I knew that I had some technical skills, but I didn't know what my voice was. And so we were talking about just those things that come out when you're on the phone and you doodle, like just those things that you already have inside of you that are your visual language. And they're just kind of these brain mapping kind of exercises. And the shapes that came out of me were kind of these kind of soft-sided or soft-cornered squares, little TV kind of shapes and stuff. And I think it was during that class when I kind of discovered what my voice was.
Wow.
And then it's kept changing. But that's when I started to feel like I had something to express visually.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of that's a really cool thing to learn at that age, so that you can, I mean, it's to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now your vocabulary, I mean, there, you know, there's a lot of things that you see in your work repeated. And so are you sort of slowly building your vocabulary?
Yeah, exactly. I really like the universal nature of those little kind of symbols, like the little upside down V's, for example.
Yeah.
They can look like trees or mountains or maybe tents. And I'm always popping them in, but I try to be careful with using those things because I want them to actually serve a purpose, so, you know, serve the narrative.
Right.
I don't want to do something that is just a brand or is just decorative.
Right.
It's important to me to kind of keep moving forward as well. So I'm aware of those things that pop up, but I try to reel it in too.
What are some of the other ones? Because you kind of have your arcs, like you're sort of almost rainbow shapey.
Yeah, and you mentioned like different artists, but the word bubble kind of thing, like a little, like a Google Map little alert, like a little word bubble that tells you where something is happening.
Mm.
Or like little dots, like little stickers on a board telling you where points of interest are. Or there's a little double V, like a little M.
Yeah.
And everyone always says, oh, is that McDonald's?
Oh, my gosh.
I just see like a little pair of hills.
Maybe it's M for Megan.
All this, yeah, here, I'm here.
Yeah.
Or all this, you know, just kind of rapid hatching. Like there's just lots of dashes. And I'm pretty addicted to, especially when you put like an opposite color on another one and it makes your eye do that kind of vibrating thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love doing that.
That's so cool. So when you go in to a piece, do you have a plan? Like, or do you just know that you have all of these things at your disposal and some are going to show up and some aren't?
I keep trying new approaches, but the work that I usually end up being the happiest with is the work that just unfolds kind of naturally.
Yeah.
My best approach is when I start painting with just some spontaneous marks, like with a big brush, like something that's out of control.
Yeah.
Then to walk away from that for a few days, you know, have other pieces on the go, look at it again and work from that point.
Oh, I love that. And they're all quite big, right?
Working big is my favorite.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least 3 feet on the side
and
up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. You know, I don't know if you've heard me talk about this before, but I have major issues with blank canvases. Like I get so scared, you know, it's just like, oh my God, it's so perfect and stretched and ready to go. And I've always been so afraid. Well, not always, but I had a really bad experience in university. And so ever since then, it's just been so hard to like, I'm so scared I'm going to wreck it. And so wrecking it is kind of the best thing you can do is just to put those marks down.
Yeah.
And so do you have that fear or are you, because I hear some people who paint large scale cannot, like when they see a giant white canvas, they cannot wait to get started.
Well, I never have a white canvas. I mean, that does, to me, that symbolizes kind of that experience. And I would always prime the canvas in a color.
Oh.
That way it's already something. And I'm not that crazy about just white anyway.
Right.
So I usually start out that way and I find it a little less scary.
I like that.
Like I mixed up this big pot of light pink gesso. And a lot of the paintings in my last series started with this pink and it really, really defined the work and really made a series that didn't look like anything before it.
Which series was that?
This is Fire Season. This is the one that's opening in Toronto.
That is my favorite. Oh, is that at Mayberry?
Yeah.
Yeah. When does that open?
May 6th.
Are you going out for it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. I love everything in that series.
Oh, thanks.
Maybe it's the pink. I have this thing about pink. I've told this story before, but I'll quickly say it again. Right before my grandmother died, she sort of in and out of consciousness. And she said to my mom, she came through in a really clear moment and said, I have to tell you, my spirit is pink. And my mom was like, okay, mom. And she was like, no, you have to hear me. I saw the pink, so you have to know. And so anyway, after that, like all these weird things have always happened with pink. Anytime I feel like I need her, there's pink somewhere. So I usually try and work it into my work everywhere just so that I feel like she's nearby. And it's just so funny when you said you mix up this big pot of pink, Jess. I was just like, there's just something so nice. And maybe like that underpainting, you know, is what sets the mood for that whole series.
Yeah.
Because if it was light blue, it would have a different feeling for sure.
Yeah, it was very defining.
And so would you normally do that for a whole series, or were you sort of piece by piece before?
You know, I don't really have a pattern.
Yeah.
You know, my thing is to try to approach it differently every series. So I try to invent a new way to start.
Wow, that's kind of scary / inspiring.
Yeah. it can look really cool if you stretch 20 new canvases and prime them all the same color. Like that, that's a really fun way to start.
Yeah, I guess. You'd have just like a glow in your studio of whatever that color was.
Yeah, and then you know that your work is going to hang together as a show. You know, there's going to be something that connects it all.
And how much of that shows through? Because there's so much going on your canvases.
Of that color?
Yeah.
Well, some of the series are, they're sort of isolated forms. So the background color really kind of frames a few of them.
Oh, okay.
Other times, you know, you get in over over my head. And the whole surface ends up getting worked and reworked and reworked, and there's nothing left. And I certainly have a few of those in this show, too.
I kind of love those ones, too. What was I just going to ask? So do you ever... Okay, first of all, what kind of paint do you use?
Acrylic. Nice quality acrylic.
And then, so do you find, like, does it ever go too far, and you've gone too far, and now that one's done, or can you keep reworking?
I'll just keep reworking. Yeah. You know, the best stuff happens fast.
Yeah.
But sometimes it just doesn't happen smoothly. And you know, you'll just have this one you have to come back to over and over and over. But sometimes that's where the breakthroughs happen, right? When you're just like, maybe there's just a square inch of this painting that's actually working. And you work around it and try to make it work. And you're using all your tools and learning stuff.
That's
so those
really cool.
Have their value, but they're tough.
Yeah, they are. I was working on a piece on the weekend that I loved. And then there was one little part that I thought, maybe I'll add one more bit. And I just felt like I ruined it.
Yeah.
I actually out loud said, Danielle, like, why? So I did what you did. I left it. And I went and did a bunch of stuff, you know, for a few hours, and I came back, and then I reworked that area, and it's actually now my favorite area.
Oh, yeah, good.
So that was good, because I was like, well, I guess I'm throwing it out. But I was like, no, everybody on this podcast always says, walk away.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Everybody says, just walk away. So I was like, okay, listen to the advice, Danielle, listen to the advice. And I walked away, and it really did help, just to give you, because, you know, I was in repair mode. And I just knew I was going to wreck it more because I was just going to keep adding crap. And I was like, no. Walk away. And it was the best thing.
Well, and that's the best thing about acrylic is that you can just bury and bury and bury.
Yeah, that's true.
Like with what you're doing, it's a bit more delicate. Or with watercolor, you know, you can't hide anything.
No.
But the acrylic is quite forgiving that way.
But don't you find, like, how thick is your paint? Like, do you ever have, like...
It gets fat.
Yeah, I know. So are there traces of the stuff below, but that doesn't matter because you can just keep going?
You kind of got to go with it as a style, right? Like if some ridges are showing up from the part that you tried to cover up, you got to make it work. Or they're just going to be ridges there for no reason.
Add a mountain.
Yeah.
Little mountain ridge.
Yeah, do something visual that matches that what's already there. I'm not really into just texture for the sake of texture. I like everything to have a purpose that's in there.
Yeah. Okay, well, I want to know what the purpose of your animal, your creature, Sasquatch, guys.
Oh, that. I just have this thing of thinking about Sasquatch when I'm in the woods. I think the Sasquatch is there. And I found out that Sasquatch is kind of special to this area.
I wondered, because I knew that, and I thought, I wonder if that's why she does it.
That's not why, but I thought that was pretty cool, that Sasquatch is actually Coast Salish.
Yeah.
Or, like, the man in the woods. And I've really avoided I've really avoided humans in my work. Like, I'm not too comfortable or, too confident with humans, but I did want to explore the figure. And I thought that this imaginary figure would be a good way to approach that.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of this figure that contains all the elements of his surroundings, like trying to use the colors that are in the trees to create this figure. And I love mystery and stories. And it's something I had to get out of my system.
I love them so much. And they're really, like, some of them you have to look for them. Like, you know, sometimes there'll be a piece and you're like, oh, there's two of them there. And then you look and there's some eyes in the background. And it's just like, ah! They're so, so cool. And they are very mystical. And they almost seem like, would you ever do a kid's book?
Oh, yeah. this is on a project my husband and I have kind of on the back burner. It's something that we would like to do together in the next few years.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, he's a good writer. And we have a bit of a concept for a kid's book. So I would love to see that happen.
Oh my gosh, it would be amazing.
I think that the books I had growing up have been a big influence on the artist that I am.
Really? Like, can you remember any of them?
Yeah, they were usually stories about little animals or like goblin-y things in forests. There was one called Norbert Nipkin. Have you heard of that, Danielle?
No.
It's about this little elf, and he lives in a tree, and there's the little tiny doorway at the base of the tree, and it's so cute. And I just love that doorway, and that's something that I try to do in my work is have little invitations like that, little things that make you need to know what's going on inside or beyond that.
That's exactly. And like they're strangely narrative, you know, but you have no idea what's happening. So it's not like a super clear narrative, like, and then this happened, you know, but it's just like this weird, mysterious story that you know is going on. And it's like, I want to know what is going, which is why I have you on the podcast. Like, what's going on in there?
Yeah, you got it. Like, and then that's why the viewer is so important, because they can figure that story out and they'll go back to their own memories and nostalgia to create those missing pieces.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so beautiful. Well, my son is obsessed with, you know, Sasquatch and all that stuff. So I showed him, probably when I first wrote about you, I said, Charlie, you have got to see this. And I showed him all of your work and he just was like, oh, he just loved it. He was probably 9 at the time and just thought it was the coolest thing. And so that's why I was thinking, well, if you don't have a book in the works, I predict it for the future.
Yeah, I would love to see this happen. There's another one that I would like to tell you about,
yeah.
And it was called The Rainbow Goblins. Have you heard of that one?
No.
Maybe Google it and get it.
Okay.
It's like the most beautiful book that I've ever had. It's beautiful oil paintings about these 7 goblins, and each are a color of the rainbow.
Oh.
And they're evil, and they go out to steal the colors of the rainbow.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah, I think these books had a big influence on me.
Wow. Well, obviously, yes. I think they did. Did you have that one, I forget what it's called, Swimmy, maybe? It's that tiny little black fish.
No.
And it's all done in watercolor, and there's this tiny little black fish, and then there's this big fish that's going to come and eat all of him and his brothers and sisters. And so, but all of the rest of them in his family are red. So he has this idea to, like, form this great big red fish out of all of them, and then he's the eye. So when the big bad fish comes, they all form into this shape and then it scares the big fish away. But the whole thing is done in watercolor and there's parts where it's seaweed. And I just remember thinking when I was little, like, that was it.
Do you think it was called Swimmy?
Yeah.
I'm going to look for it. No, okay. But I don't know it.
I think that's what it's called. Charlie has it. So if that's not it, I will go and look after and I'll put it in the post and I'll email you and tell you.
Yeah.
Because you'd love it. And it, yeah, it's just so pretty. And I remember things like that too. Just had such, and maybe it was being an art kid, you know, but it was just like, it made such an impression in my brain too. I bought kids' books before I even had Charlie. I would just like gather things because I just, you know, the artwork in kids' books now is just, well, even then was stunning. Okay, well, it's out there now because now you guys have to do this project.
Thanks for the boost.
You're welcome. We've built it up so much. People are like, you know, pre-ordering on Amazon already and you haven't even done it. So, okay. So I love that first, that's Fire Season series we're just talking about. Giants. Is that the one with the Sasquatches in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the series I wrote about.
Yeah. Yeah. I really appreciated that you posted about that series. Oh. It's, for me, it's a favorite. It was never, my galleries were never that into that series, I don't think. Oh, I shouldn't say that. But they were not my most successful paintings, but they are my favorites. Wow. Some of my favorites.
Yeah, I love them. You have such cool titles for your series. Where do they come from?
The
like
titles
Tropic
are
of Scorpio? Is that a piece or is that a series?
That's a piece.
Okay. I love that one.
Thanks. Titling is important. It's hard.
Yeah. What? How do you go about it? Like, is it part of the story of the piece for you?
No. I would usually finish a series or a group of paintings, and I've been compiling lists of name ideas. So I sit down with my husband, Tony, and usually a bottle of wine, and we try to name the paintings, like using the lists that we put together, you know, assigning names that fit and just, you know, free flow brainstorming.
Wow.
You know, it usually takes a few days to do a series.
That's so cool. Naming it after the fact.
Yeah. And I try to be really careful with the names because like we were saying, the narrative is left for a viewer to discover.
Right.
So we really don't want to direct the painting anywhere very specific. If anything, I want the title to open the painting up to more more translations, you know, not less.
Yeah, like more mystery and more like left up to the viewer to figure out what that means too.
Yeah, And not to sound just kind of glib or off the cuff, you know, I think it's a real opportunity to expand on the painting. And
do the titles get more creative the further down the bottle of wine you get? Tony, hang on, I've got another one.
We get a little gutsier. Yeah, things seem to fit better.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Do you ever, when you're working, do you ever have a title pop into your mind as the story is building for you?
Yeah.
And is that the things that you write down?
Sometimes I'll just... The title will come and I'll just, you know, put it in pencil on the back of the painting.
Yeah.
And then once in a while, it will be the one that I go with. But it's really not where my mind is going.
Because they must take you quite a while.
It's a real range.
Yeah.
Like some of the best ones happen, you know, almost in one session.
Mm-hmm.
But others will be on the easel for weeks. And I have usually, you know, at least 10 going at one time.
Wow.
So I'm not really keeping track of how much time is spent on each one.
Right.
But I don't like to waste time thinking of the next move. Like if I don't know the next move, I'm on to the next piece.
And so does that mean that you are done with that piece? Or like, how do you know when you're done? When you just don't know what the next move is?
I think just when there's nothing that's standing out as being annoying.
That is a very good and very honest answer.
It's pretty hard to tell.
Yeah.
And I am getting better at stopping.
Yeah.
And just like I say, you know, I don't know if this is done, but I like it. And maybe I will keep painting it someday. But for now, I'm going to let this be a painting.
And so at that moment, do you get it out of your studio?
Yeah, you get it away.
Yeah.
Before I start putting those little
hatchet marks.
M's on it.
See, that's what I think I need. I need a holding area for where the things are finished, because it's still, I only have like the one area in my house, and then it's like I just keep going and I really shouldn't. So maybe now they're going to get moved to the guest room.
Yeah.
There's no guests in there.
Yeah.
It's fine. I think I'll stash it. So, okay, I have many visions. So is your studio at home or do you have another space?
My studio is at home.
It sounds fantastic. Do you have photos of that? Because I need to see like 10 paintings going at once photo.
Yeah, it's tight. I had a pretty good space in the basement, but it was kind of basement-y.
Basements can be that way.
Yeah, and we do have this really nice ocean view and kind of a nice dining room, living room area that was kind of sitting empty while I was spending all day in the basement. So we came to the conclusion that I should just kind of be in our main living space. So the dining room is in the living room now, and I have the former dining room space. So I'm having to be way, way tidier.
Yeah.
But it's the nicest space I've ever had to work in. It's really bright, you know, and I've got the stereo there, and I can sit back on the couch and take a break. So actually, the living room is the studio now.
I love that. And then you must have just West Coast inspiration right outside your window.
All the time.
I hope there's no Sasquatches wandering past.
I haven't seen one.
Do you get lots of creatures wandering by?
Yeah.
What have you got?
Bears and deer.
Oh my goodness. Do you hear the sea lions? Are there sea lions near you?
Yeah, we can hear sea lions. My husband was seeing hundreds of them yesterday. He went on a little boat ride the other side of Harwood Island. There was a sea lion colony.
Wow.
There were hundreds over there.
They are so loud. I was, because I went to UVic, and so I was with friends. We went to one of the Gulf Islands, I think to Gabriola. And my friend, it was like a little house that they had there. And we got there in the middle of the night. So you couldn't see the ocean. It was just pitch black. So you didn't really know where the water was. And we went inside. And in the morning, we could hear these sea lions that were so loud. They were under the deck.
Oh.
And they would sleep there. And so you could hear them in the morning. And like it sounds like they're in the house. And then we look out and they're like, dum, 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 and like climb down onto the rocks and off they go. And just so crazy cool. But yeah, I've seen bear poop in our yard, which means that there's been a bear.
Oh, yeah.
But I haven't seen one yet.
You're in the Okanagan?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll get all kinds of stuff.
Oh, we sure do. Yeah, you got to keep your wits about you when you let the wiener dogs out, because they will get eaten up in one chomp by all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Anywho, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say these bears are just, they're cool to watch. They're really fast and they can climb like a cat. Like these bears can just disappear over a fence in no time. Like they're not these bumbling,
Yeah. Does it scare you? Like, are you nervous when you go like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're usually just kind of fun and funny to watch. But you want to watch from inside.
Yeah, no kidding. I know my girlfriend just texted me a picture this past summer. She lives just down the hill from us, and we go hiking all the time together, but we always carry bear spray. She texted me a picture outside of her kitchen window, and there's this huge bear just like outside of her kitchen window. And she's like, well, I guess I'm never going outside again. It was like right there. And so, yeah, it's a little unnerving. And when we moved from Vancouver, it was really like, what? Like, where are we? You know, snakes in our backyard and coyotes roaming through and bobcat. And we're just like, what? And now we're just kind of used to it.
We're so lucky.
I know, we really are. Hooray for British Columbia. My son's middle name is actually West, because we moved west when we were going to have a family. Charlie West. Isn't that a cool name?
It's beautiful.
I was like, if he becomes a rapper, he can be like Chuck West, you know, or if he had a clothing brand, he could be Charles West. I really had it all figured out ahead of time. But yeah, so now I always joke that we can't even move like east at all because it's right in his name. It's in the branding.
Yeah.
We have to stay in BC. So there you go. Okay, so there are bears in your backyard and Sasquatches in your work. So that's all totally making sense. I wanted to ask you this because speaking of small towns in British Columbia, not exactly Brooklyn, how do you feel about the fact that you are a working artist, but you're not like in LA or Brooklyn or, you know, like in a hub of the gallery world? Did you ever have an issue with that or no?
Well, I think if I lived in the city, it would probably be great. I think I'd probably sell more work and be a lot more influenced by other artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have liked to know what that would look like. But I think that small town is the way to go for me. You know, I love that we can get by on being self-employed here.
Mm-hmm.
When we moved here, we could afford a house. So we really don't have too much pressure. I love how much downtime we're able to have here.
Yeah.
There's so much that we're able to do in the time that we have. And we have lots of relationships with our neighbors. And, you know everybody around town. And I love the feeling of being in a small town. I don't have a lot of experience with those cities, and I'm super curious.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty happy where we're at with. I'm pretty happy with being here.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, I kind of wondered that because I do hear that from a lot of people who... You know, there, and I'm in a small town. But I've also lived in Toronto for 10 years, and I lived in Vancouver for a long time. And I don't know. I think the world feels so much smaller now, though, with the internet. And you know, it would have been a lot different, even 15, 20 years ago, to be in a small place, right? Because you just didn't have access. Like people, it was a lot harder for people to find you.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you find, like, the galleries that you're with now, like Mayberry, for example, they're in downtown Toronto.
Yeah.
How did that come about? Did you find them or did they find you?
They started out in Winnipeg.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah, and they approached me about 10 years ago to be in their Winnipeg gallery. There was a mutual friend as well. That gave them my name. So they approached me, thanks to that friend. And about 7 years ago, they purchased a gallery in Toronto and put their name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're growing into a bigger location.
Yeah.
So when they moved to Toronto, they took their Winnipeg artists with them.
Okay.
Yes, so I didn't have to try to find a gallery in Toronto that happened for me. I was really lucky.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the gallery in Victoria?
Yeah.
And anybody else?
That's it.
Yeah. And is that good for you or do you want more or?
I'm really happy with these galleries.
Yeah.
However, I do think that I could be producing more work.
Mm-hmm.
So another dealer, I think in another market, like the American market,
yeah,
would probably be a really good thing.
Yeah.
Yes. I just don't even know what city. I just don't even know where, but,
Portland.
Yeah. Portland.
For sure. Portland. LA probably.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I'm making a list of LA and Portland.
Yeah. Well, they're just so they have like that mystical West Coasty feel, right?
Yeah.
And but they're weird as well.
Yeah.
Which seems to be Portland and LA. I think you'd be perfect in both of those places.
Right, because it is kind of part of a West Coast art scene that I'm a part of.
Yeah.
Just need to reach down a little farther.
That's right. Just scooch down a little bit more. No, I think there's so... I'm already brainstorming who I could email the second I hang up from this. That is my favorite thing. If I could just be like a matchmaker.
You are. You're doing it.
I could do it every day. I find it so satisfying. And whenever it happens and there's a connection made and like something, I always feel like I'm more excited than like the people involved. I just love it. It's so like, I really like being right. I think that's actually what it comes down to. I really like being right. So when I pair people up, I'm like, I knew it. So it's probably just ego for me. But anyway, we're going to make that happen.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Thanks, girlfriend.
No problem. Us Canadian girls got to stick together, you know? Which is a perfect segue into the not-so-speedy speed round. There's a bit of Canadiana in here.
All right.
We're kicking it off with the first one. Ready?
Okay.
Poutine or beaver tails?
I don't know what a beaver tail is.
What? Is that an East Coast thing?
I don't know.
Oh my God, beaver tails are so good. They're basically like, it's kind of like waffle dough. No, it's kind of like donut dough, but it's like stretched out into a beaver tail shape, and then they deep fry it, and then they roll it in sugar and cinnamon.
Beaver tails!
Oh my God, that must be an East Coast thing. They have them, they're everywhere in Ottawa, for sure.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Oh my God, they're so good. But you kind of, like, they go down really fast, but then you feel like you might die after.
Yeah, it sounds like churros.
Yes, it's exactly, except it's just flattened out to look like a beaver tail. And then if you get soft serve ice cream on top of it, that'll really finish you off. Okay, well, now we'll have to put this in our... Are you coming to Toronto for our show?
I'm coming to Toronto for the May show. I don't know if we can do both.
Yeah, probably. Okay. I was going to say, if we meet up there, beaver tails for sure.
Oh.
I'll just float that. That could be the incentive that you need.
They could serve them at the opening.
Oh, my God. Don't you think the Tragically Hip, those guys would love beaver tails?
Yeah.
It could not get more Canadian. It's like 10 Canadian artists, the Tragically Hip, beaver tails, and it opens the weekend after Canada's 150th birthday.
Yeah.
I don't even know what else to add. I guess poutine. Are you not a fan of poutine?
Oh, I like poutine fine.
Yeah. But if you can have something rolled in sugar and cinnamon, you'll go with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I would maybe have poutine for dinner, beaver tails for dessert.
Every time.
Right? Wash it down with, I don't know, what's Canadian? Caesars.
Really?
No, I don't. Aren't Caesars Canadian?
This is interesting. I don't know.
I think they are, because, anyway.
I think Clamato is Canadian.
Right? Which is such a weird thing, because in the States, they're called Bloody Marys. But I think Caesars are only in Canada, because who wants Clamato juice?
Canadians.
I love them, but it's a weird thing. Okay, so now I've covered all of the Canadian cuisine. Moving on. See, this is why it's the not-so-speedy speed round.
Indeed.
Okay. What was your first car?
A Honda Civic Wagavan.
Wagavan.
The best car I've ever had.
What color was it?
Gold.
Oh, my God. Did it have a name?
I guess not, because I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
And where is she now?
I drove it into the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a hatchback four-door, big enough to sleep in. And I was the first one in my grade to get a vehicle. So mine was the party wagon.
Oh, man.
So great.
Is that what you drove to Halifax?
No.
It wouldn't have made it to Halifax?
No.
No.
For a while, I was driving that Civic with a smashed front end and a broken windshield and rear window. I just kept crashing it until I had to replace it.
Oh, no. Was it a sad day when you had to replace it, or were you kind of ready to let that one go?
That was sad.
Yeah.
That was really sad. Lots of bush parties in that car.
Oh, you guys had... So where was this?
That's why I like Tragically Hip. Whitehorse.
Whitehorse, okay.
Yeah, that was the soundtrack.
Of course, I know. Me too. But I wasn't in Whitehorse. I was here, but we have bush parties here too.
Yeah, just find a good gravel pit.
Yep, that's all you need. Burn some stuff, have some people jump over it. Done. Well, it's so funny because I've now moved back to the town I grew up in. And there are two places for bush parties, and they still happen there.
Do you still go?
Oh, yeah. No, can you imagine? Hey, everybody! Woo, I'm back. Why is
Class
this?
of 96.
Yeah, that's right. Why is this old lady at our party? Well, it's so funny because all of my friends have also moved back, and most of them are teachers. And one of them teaches at the high school, and so she was teaching. She teaches like in a grade 11, 12. Lit class or something, and a bunch of the guys were talking, all the hockey player guys were talking about this party, and they were like, hey, are you gonna, Elaine said to my friend, hey, are you gonna come to the party, kind of teasing her, and she goes, sure, is it at Trappers or Cartwright? And they were both just, they were like, what, how do you know? And she says, oh my god, because it hasn't changed in 25 years. So funny. And so now my son, like, if, you know, when he's a teenager, I'll be like, dude, I know exactly how to drive there. I can come and get you if I need to. But there's this big rock when you go into Trappers. That was the main one that has been spray painted over with each grad year for, I don't know, 40 years or something.
Oh, how wonderful.
I know. So cool. So it's good old small town living. See, I knew this was going to be a Canadian episode.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Okay, this is a little deeper than Beaver Tails and First Cars. But if you could give your younger art self some advice, what would it be? It's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
What would you have told yourself at NASCAD?
That you don't have to know what it's about for it to be a good piece of art. Like, it doesn't need to have a theory to be important, because it'll have a theory to anyone who looks at it will see it differently. Mm-hmm. So don't get hung up on whether your work is important or not, because it's not really something you can decide.
I love that. That is a good answer.
Phew.
Woo. You thought the beaver tail thing was going to be the trickiest one.
I failed that.
Well, you know, it's so funny. I remember in university, and I went to UVic, and it was very, I don't know if it's still quite conceptual, but it was at the time. And I remember I put up a piece in a crit, and there was about 23 people in my class. And so, you know, they said, what does it mean? And I said, well, I'd like everybody to go around and say what they think it means. So everybody did that, and it got back around to me, and they said, well, you know, who's right? And I said, well, you're all right. And they were like, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, because everybody, exactly what you just said, you know, everybody's going to have their own interpretation, the stories, like things that have happened to them in their life are going to inform what they, you know, put on it themselves.
Yeah.
And I got a C because it didn't mean anything.
Oh.
And I was like, all right.
I used to be way more interested in trying to make work that was some sort of important social commentary. But my work has been getting lighter and lighter. Like, at some point I started with little animals, and now I'm going with the pink, and like, it's getting softer and lighter and friendlier.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think it's just that, like, I think I'm realizing now that I don't really have any
dark angst.
I'm really actually quite happy, and I don't really have a lot of, you know, sage knowledge to impart to others. I just have this experience I'm trying to share. So maybe it's just becoming more and more clear.
Yeah, more and more you.
More and more me.
Which,
yeah,
is the whole point, right? You know, it's, I always think that with art, that, you know, I never really worried about my design work when I was a designer for so long, because it wasn't personal. It wasn't close to me, you know, but, and anybody could have been briefed on that logo and done a logo. But I always think with your artwork, it wouldn't exist in this world if it weren't for you and your thoughts and your hand and your color choices and your, you know, visual vocabulary choices. And as you get older, you know, and more experienced, I think that is, it's so beautiful. Like, that's, it's you on a canvas.
Yeah.
And what a freeing thing that is, too. It's like finding that childhood thing again. You know, I tried for so many years to be angsty and, you know, whatever, because I wasn't supposed to be funny and light, because that wasn't real art. And that was exhausting.
Funny art is the best.
That's what I think, too. But I was, you know, it was just, it was beaten out of me at school that didn't count.
Yeah.
And so somehow I hung on to that. Like, and I'm sure it was way in the back of my brain. I wasn't consciously thinking, don't be funny. I think it was just planted there a long time ago, and I just never let go. And it wasn't until, like, you know, a couple of years ago that I was like, wait a minute, and let go of it. And so, yeah, it's just, I love that you have embraced just, I don't know, who you are and what you want to share.
Yeah.
It makes me exhale. Like, when you said that, I was like, oh, that's nice.
Oh, I just feel so lucky that anyone is interested, and I can keep doing this.
Well, you just wait till I call Portland and L.A. And book publishers. I've got a list. I've got a really big list. Okay, so I have a final question that is much easier. Well, I don't know. Maybe you won't find this easy. Charlie always likes me to throw in a would you rather at the end. So, would you rather be a Sasquatch or a Yeti? Now that I know about your, you know, Yukon living.
Sasquatch. Green winters.
Yeah. Well, you never know. I thought, you know, maybe you'd want to get back to your snowy roots. No?
No, thank you.
No. I know. Once you hit that West Coast, it's really hard to experience winter again.
Yeah. It really is.
Okay, well, we'll let you be in your damp forest and not make you build an ice cave or anything.
No, I'll build a branch cave with an ocean view.
You can just sit in there and eat beaver tails. Not actual beaver tails.
No, actual beaver tails.
Yeah, probably that's what a Sasquatch would eat. Do you ever watch that show Finding Bigfoot?
No.
What?
I haven't heard of it.
Oh, my word. I think it's on Animal Planet. Finding Bigfoot. They have not found him yet, FYI. Every episode is the same. They get very close every episode.
Well, I think we would have heard.
Yeah, I know. guys, I think your efforts are, you know, probably futile, but keep going. And then they go out with, like, night vision goggles. Nothing yet. But anyway, I'll give Finding Bigfoot a plug.
Okay.
There you go. I've taught you so much this episode. Beaver tails, Finding Bigfoot.
Yes, thank you for this list.
You're welcome. This is what I like. This is how I like to give back to the art community. These very, very important things. That's it. That was my last question.
Wow, that was really nice and fun.
It was so fun. I was so curious to talk to you because you never know. You know, you never know when you look at somebody's work and you, like, guess what you think they're going to be. You have no idea. And you are hilarious and sweet, and now I love your work even more.
Thanks, pal.
You're welcome. Well, I am going to do a great big post because if people are listening to this and we're talking about Sasquatches and little M's and whatever, they're going to be like, what are you guys even talking about? So I'm going to do a big post, which is going to give me an excuse to just show all of your work. And if you have any studio shots, can you send them to me? Because I'd love to pop them in there.
I'll go take one.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And yeah, it's going to be up this weekend.
Thanks.
Thank you. That was so much fun. And good luck in Toronto. And enjoy every single second.
And thank you for everything that you do for the arts. I love what you're doing.
Well, people aren't going to find out about beaver tails without me, so. No, thank you. I feel very hashtag blessed that I, you know, I don't even know how this turned out to be my life, and I just can't even believe it, and I'm going to keep doing it as long as people keep letting me.
Okay, I'll be listening.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, I will be in touch because I need information from you for the show.
Over and out.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Oh my word, I loved every single second of that. And I kind of feel like I have a new Canadian friend. She had so many words of wisdom that just made me exhale, a giant exhale. And I may have teared up once or twice, but successfully covered that up with jokes about beaver tails. Works every single time. Thank you so much to Megan for doing this with me. And mark my words, America's West Coast Galleries will be hearing from me. Thank you, as always, to Saatchi Art for supporting this episode, and thank you for listening. There will be more Art for Your Ear next weekend. See you then.